So let us continue to worship God. We're going to share a passage of scripture together from Exodus, and let's do that first, followed by a prayer for illumination. So let us pray. Faithful God, your grace is our daily bread. So nourish us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we may grow in faith and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture text this morning is from the book of Exodus, Exodus 16, and we're going to begin at verse 22. This is the story of the Israelites in the wilderness and the giving of manna in the wilderness. I want to pick up the narrative at verse 22. Listen now for God's word. And on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much food, two omers apiece. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not become foul, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. You will not find the manna in the field. 6 days you shall gather it. 6 days you shall gather the manna. But on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, and they found none. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you food for 2 days. Each of you, stay where you are. Do not leave your place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. The house of Israel called it manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, in order that they may see the food with which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the covenant for safekeeping. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a habitable place and land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is a tenth of an ephah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. So last week, I joined a group of Presbyterian seminarians and pastors for an evening prayer service using Zoom, of course. And I know these folks only through Twitter. I've never met them face to face. And I joined because I felt that in these trying times, it's important for all of us, especially pastors and religious leaders, to use the resources of our tradition, such as daily prayer, morning prayer, evening prayer, to keep us focused and to keep us grounded. My experience with them was a balm for my troubled soul. And the scripture text that evening that we heard following the daily lectionary was the story we just heard from Exodus 16. When the Israelites were in the early days of their wilderness experience, moving from Egypt to a land of promise, a land of milk and honey. And that text really spoke to me. I decided to use it on Thursday this past week for our Bible study, our first Zoom Thursday morning Bible study, and which we'll again, of course, be doing this week. And I felt it would be helpful to spend a little more time with this remarkable story this morning, because it has a lot to show us, I think, for the living of these days. So just to set it up quickly, I encourage you to read the entire chapter. We find here in 16 that God's people are moving into the wilderness of Sinai, and they begin to complain, they begin to murmur to Moses. They want to go back to Egypt. And they have difficulty trusting Moses and trusting God. They are caught in the wilderness, in a place in between the known of Egypt and the unknown of the promised land or of the future. And so the Israelites complain to Moses and Aaron. So God decides to provide manna, to provide bread from heaven for them. The text says, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." God commands the people, "Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person, about 9 cups per person, according to the number of the persons, all providing for those in their tents." They gathered exactly what they needed for that day, no more than what was needed, and no less. They had exactly what they needed, and there was no shortage. They gathered, the text says, as much as each of them needed. The manna was not to be hoarded and saved. They were commanded to receive what had been given to them for that day. Moses did as he was told, and they followed as he told them to do. But some tried to save it for another day. Some tried to gather as much as they could, but it bred worms and became foul the next morning. The text says, morning by morning, they gathered it. Morning by morning, they gathered it as much as each needed. And then on the sixth day of the week, the day before the Sabbath, when the gathering of the manna was forbidden, for it was a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord, on that sixth day they gathered twice as much and set some aside for the Sabbath morning. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord." But some would not listen. Some went out on the Sabbath morning, thinking that they would find more manna. And so Moses reminds them that God has given them a Sabbath. God has given them a time to rest, a time to be renewed. Moses says, and these words leapt off the page for me this week. Moses says to him, to them, "Each of you stay where you are. Do not leave your place on the seventh day." Stay where you are. Do not leave your place. It's too soon to tell, but I have a feeling during this time of physical distancing and self-isolation, with more time at home with loved ones or more time alone and connecting with others, adjusting to a new rhythm of our daily lives, perhaps, just perhaps, the notion of Sabbath as gift might take on new meaning. Sabbath is a time to fully trust in the provision of God, to acknowledge that we can't do everything, that there are things beyond our control. It's a time to remember that we must stop, and our work must stop for a time. The call to Sabbath is to be a guard against our overperforming, our overfunctioning, of trying to do too much, which in a time such as this can become an ineffective way to deal with our anxiety about what tomorrow might be as we move into an unknown. We need time to rest so that we will have the strength to be effective in the work that God calls us to perform. Resting in God as we walk through this COVID-19 health crisis together. Last Sunday, for our intercessory prayer service, I asked Doug to play the beloved hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And in that marvelous hymn, there is this beautiful refrain, Great is Thy Faithfulness, great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Morning by morning. Morning by morning, they gathered the manna, as much as they needed. As we journey through this wilderness, as we hear troubling stories coming from Italy and Spain and the rest of Europe, as we hear news from Seattle and New York, Chicago, New Orleans, as we move through this time trying to figure out what the future might be, full of so much unknowns, our anxiety is high, and we are scared, and we are worried for our loved ones, especially the elderly and those with underlying health conditions. And it's easy in this time, listening to the news, to be overwhelmed by everything. News that is quickly changing by the hour. And we wonder and we worry, when will it end and when can we go back to some semblance of normalcy? And the answer to all these questions, no one knows. But what has given me some comfort, and I say some comfort, and helped me in these days and help calm my nerves, is living or trying to live one day at a time, living morning by morning, and looking for the manna that is given to us fresh daily, focusing on today, just focusing on this moment, this hour, this day, helps me it keeps me from being overwhelmed by the thoughts and the fantasies we are so good at creating about tomorrow and the future. If we're overwhelmed by worrying about what might be, what tomorrow or the next week will be like, we won't have the emotional, physical, and spiritual resources needed for the facing of today. Someone said that all that we're dealing with right now, this race, is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so we need to measure our energy and care for ourselves and trust in the resources provided for us. Several years ago, I learned the value of living one day at a time. And that was at a time when I started walking the Camino in Spain. The Camino, the ancient pilgrim route, runs across the north of Spain. There are many routes, but the main one runs across the north of Spain, from the French border in the south, across the Pyrenees, west to Santiago de Compostela. It's a 500-mile trek from the French border to Santiago. And I remember that I was really full of anxiety as I remember those first couple of days. And today, in particular, I feel for the suffering of the people of Spain and all those whose lives depend, their livelihood depends on the tens of thousands of pilgrims who walk the Camino every year, but aren't walking this year. But in remembering my time walking the Camino, again, about 4 years ago, I remember that the first couple of days, I was feeling very, very anxious. And I was feeling overwhelmed by the prospect of walking 500 miles across Spain, something I'd never, ever done before. And around the third day, the Camino taught me a very valuable lesson, that thinking that far ahead into the future was not helpful for me, that those thoughts and all the anxieties that came with those thoughts were not serving me at all. In fact, thinking that way was making it difficult to walk the road right in front of me. So I decided to focus instead on each step. I took each day with its strides. I walked 10 miles one day, 14 miles another day, and some days no miles at all. I just took that time to rest. I focused on each day, on the day that was set before me, morning by morning, one day at a time. And about 35 days later, I had walked 500 miles across Spain. That's what's helping me. That thought, that experience, this is what's helping me manage my anxieties, at least for today. So what is your manna at this moment today? Who is your manna? What's feeding you? What's sustaining you? Actually, these are pretty good questions to ask ourselves a lot these days. Morning by morning, evening by evening, what is our manna? As we close our eyes each night and try to sleep, resting in the goodness and the faithfulness of God, trusting in God to provide what we need, where is that manna? Amen. Amen.